إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى، we were talking about Salah yesterday. Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned different kinds of salawat, different kinds of salah in the Quran. In one place, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. He said, woe to those who pray. Curse on those who pray. And what kind of prayer is that? Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. These are the people who delay their salat. Without any valid shara'i reason, they just delay the salat. Time for salat comes and say, no, we'll pray. It's more convenient to pray later. I'm busy doing this and that. Let me delay. Let me go pray later. The matter there is not that you are praying or not praying. It is the attitude where you are saying by your action or by your words that the salah is less important than whatever else you are doing. So, delay it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And also those people who pray to show others. Who pray to show others that they are pious. So there is one salah, and in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said there is the salah of some people which will not rise above their heads. And it will be taken and thrown back in their face like a dirty cloth. We ask Allah to save us from that kind of prayer, inshallah. So salah which is delayed because of our personal convenience or something like that, we ask Allah's protection from this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another kind of salah, which we mentioned yesterday in Surah Ankabut, where he said, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. That the salah separates you from fahushat and munkarat. Separates you from all kinds of disobedience, especially all kinds of promiscuity, all kinds of shamelessness, and all forms of munkarat, all forms of denial and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a salah which actually has an effect on the individual. It has an effect on the life of the individual, on the conduct of the individual, and obviously because of that, it has a positive effect on everything around this person. And it's a salah which gives him benefit. And then there is another salah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, and this was the salah of the Anbiya, and it was the salah of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah, it was the salah of all the pious predecessors, all the Salafus Salihin, and all the Awliya Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. He said, establish the salah for my dhikr. No other reason. No other reason. Only for my dhikr. See how those people prayed who understood the meaning of salah. And who understood this issue of أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Medina, there was a threat from the tribes of Najd. Najd is the area in which there is now Riyadh and all that. Right? Qasim, Riyadh, those areas. That is called Najd. And Medina is in what is called Hijaz. So there was a threat to the to Medina. And Rasulullah got information that the tribes of Najd are planning to attack Medina. So to preempt this attack, he took a battalion of 400 soldiers and he marched to Najd and he said, let us deal with them in their own area. So when they reached Najd, they found that the tribes had disappeared, those people had taken to the hills and they only found some women and children in the camps. So then they turned around, there was no battle, nothing. They turned around and they were coming back. And on the way back, they camped in a valley. And after they had settled down, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will guard us today? And two of the Sahaba, one Ansari and one Muhajir. The name of the Muhajir was Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. And this is the famous Ammar ibn Yasir, whose mother and father were the first shuhada for Islam. Sumayya radiallahu anha, her son, Ammar ibn Yasir, and the son of the husband of Sumayya Yasir radiallahu anha, radiallahu anhu, was Sumayya radiallahu anha, their son Ammar. He was one of them. And the second one was his brother, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his brother and his name was Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. So these two stood up and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we will guard the camp. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, go guard the camp. So they went to the mouth of the valley and they settled down in their guarding place. And then it was night, it was a very peaceful and calm and quiet night, and Ammar bin Yasir was very tired. So Abbad bin Bishr saw that his brother was tired. So he said to him, which part of the night do you want to sleep in? And which part of the night do you want to stay awake? So Ammar bin Yasir said, let me sleep now and I will wake up in the middle of the night and I will guard during the second part of the night. So Abbad bin Bishr said, oh, okay, no problem. So he decided, Ammar bin Yasir slept, and Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu decided to pray. He thought if he was just going to be sitting there, then let him recite Quran. And Abbad bin Bishr was a man who accepted Islam at the hands of Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, and at that time he was 14, 15 years old. And he was somebody who loved the Quran so much, and he recited the Quran so beautifully, and he recited it so much that he was the among the Sahaba, he came to be known as Sahibul Quran, as the companion of the Quran. That was his name. People used to call him Sahibul Quran. So Abbad bin Bishr stood up in Salah, Allahu Akbar. He recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and then he started reciting Surah Al-Kahf. And Surah Al-Kahf was a special surah that Abbad bin Bishr had been told by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to memorize. And he was a Hafiz Quran, but this particular surah. So he started reciting Surah Al-Kahf. Now as he is reciting Surah Al-Kahf, of course he's a soldier, he's still wearing his chain mail and so on. There was one of the enemy soldiers who was looking to attack from some side or the other, and he saw Abbad bin Bishr standing silhouetted in the valley. So he came out behind him and he shot an arrow. The arrow hit Abbad bin Bishr on the side. Abbad bin Bishr pulled out the arrow and continued his recitation. The man shot another arrow. Abbad bin Bishr pulled out the second arrow and continued his recitation. Now he's bleeding, obviously. You're not talking about pinpricks, you're talking about arrows. The man shot a third arrow. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu pulled out the arrow and then he completed his recitation. He went into ruku, and when he went into sajda, he reached out his hand and shook Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir jumped up and he saw what was going on. He shouted, the enemy ran away. And by then, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu finished his salah. He completed his salah. And Ammar bin Yasir said, Subhanallah, why didn't you wake me up? Why didn't you do something when the first arrow hit you? And now you've got three wounds and you're bleeding and so on. He said, why didn't you wake me up right then? He said, I did not want to interrupt the recitation of the Quran. He said, I did not want to interrupt the recitation of the Quran. He said, for me, it was preferable that I die in that state rather than to interrupt the recitation of the Quran. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take his life at that point in time. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu eventually died a shaheed fi sabilillah in the battle of Yamama against Musaylimah al-Kadhab. But the point I'm making is that is also salah. Inna salata tanhanil fahshai al-munkar is one salah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah for that. And wa akhimis salata li dhikri. Establish the salah for my zikr. And here is the man standing, who is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. He is reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His Rabb is listening to that kalam on his arsh. And he is drawing the attention of the muqarrabun among the malaika towards his slave who is reciting his kalam on the earth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this witness of such salah and to connect us with him so that we learn also and we benefit the maximum. Alhamdulillah, we pray. It makes every sense to increase the quality and to better the quality of the salah so we get the maximum benefit from the salah. Otherwise, what sense does it make? We pray, and if we are not getting the benefit from the salah, then of course we have to pray. That is a fard. But even if we have to pray, let us try to pray in a way where it's not just a matter of filling a form and saying, okay, Salatul Fajr, done. No. It's the issue of what did I get from Salatul Fajr? What is my benefit of Salatul Fajr? And I believe that this is what we must focus on, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.